Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best. For today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Incumbent presidential candidate Joko Widodo respects Prabowo's decision to challenge election result in Constitutional Court. Constitutional Court ready to accept election dispute cases. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pane. Incumbent presidential candidate Joko Widodo has expressed high regard for his contender Prabowo Subianto's decision to challenge the 2019 presidential election result in the Constitutional Court. Jokowi remarked that filing a lawsuit with the Constitutional Court to challenge the election result is every citizen's right and is in accordance with the law and constitution. He highly supports Prabowo in taking the constitutional route rather than the opposite action. The Constitutional Court has allowed any party to challenge the election's result within 3 days of its announcement from Tuesday to Friday, May 24. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe extended congratulations to Indonesian presidential candidate Joko Widodo on winning the election and second presidential term, based on Antara's monitoring of the Japanese embassy in Indonesia's Facebook page Wednesday. On May 21, the General Election Commission, KPU, had made an official declaration that the presidential and vice presidential candidate pair Jokowi Ma'ruf Amin won the majority votes in the Indonesian presidential election held on April 17. After the announcement was made, Japanese Prime Minister Abe sent a message to Indonesian President Joko Widodo in which he congratulated him on being re-elected as the Indonesian president for the 2019-2024 period. The Japanese Prime Minister also optimistic of being able to work along with President Joko Widodo to intensify relations between both nations. Apart from the Japanese Prime Minister, congratulatory messages for Joko Widodo on his re-election as Indonesia's president also trickled in from other leaders and heads of state, including Chinese President Xi Jinping and Singapore's Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong. The Constitutional Court is ready to accept cases dealing with disputes regarding the 2019 presidential and legislative elections, following the General Election Commission KPU announcing the presidential election results on Monday night. However, the Constitutional Court will firstly ensure the deadline for cases submitted by referring to the KPU decision letter. Previously, the court announced that the handling of election dispute cases consists of 11 stages, starting from submission of the cases up to submission of copies of decisions. The 11 stages are implemented based upon Constitutional Court Regulation No. 5/2018 regarding stage, activities, and schedules for handling cases of election result disputes. The submission of election dispute case applications will continue from May 23 to 25 for presidential election disputes, while legislative election disputes can be submitted from May 8 to June 25. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi and her counterpart from Suriname, Edith Deborah Pollack Bihil, agreed to intensify economic partnership between both countries. Indonesia and Suriname have agreed to bolster economic cooperation, Mr. Retno Marsudi remarked in Paramaribo, Suriname, following her meeting with Suriname Foreign Minister the Indonesian Foreign Ministry noted in a statement on Tuesday. Retno Marsudi has embarked on a working visit to Suriname, the first one in over the last 26 years. She also paid a courtesy call on Suriname President Desiree Delano Boutros. Indonesia and Suriname have shared special relations as the country, situated in the South American continent, is also home to people of Japanese descent who speak the language. In the economic field, both nations will enhance cooperation in infrastructure development, mining, energy, Sharia banking development, and husbandry, especially in the field of artificial insemination. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia and the Netherlands have discussed cooperation in the health sector, particularly in family medicine, antimicrobial resistance, and the health of the elderly. While attending the 72nd World Health Assembly meeting in Geneva on Monday, Indonesian Health Minister Nila Muluk met with Dutch Minister of Health Services Bruno Johannes Bruins to discuss national health programs. In her statement on Tuesday, Minister Nila Muluk said, "The Netherlands was well known for delivering superior care to its citizens through its family doctor programs." The two ministers discussed an upcoming meeting on antimicrobial resistance to be held in the Netherlands in June. Minister Muluk noted that she was grateful for Netherlands hosting the event and naming Indonesia as co-chair of this meeting. The meeting of the two ministers concluded with an agreement to promote the development of three areas of cooperation, including strengthening the health system with a focus on medical care for the elderly, control of infectious disease, including antimicrobial resistance, and global health security. Indonesian Tourism Ministry presents Border Tourism and Hotel Program to attract foreign tourists to Indonesia. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya in Jakarta on Tuesday said that this program is able to gain 17.6 billion rupiah for state revenue.
Ya, jadi proyeksinya berapa dari tujuh kira-kira baru akan tercapai 18 juta.
It is projected that there will be 18 million or 90% of the total target, with foreign exchange is approximately 17.6 billion. Border tourism and hot deal programs are now being intensively done. We sell the hot deal with a large discount during low season. So people visit, especially Riawalans, for one day, one night, is only $75. With a price of less than $100 package, it's very easy to sell. Last year, we managed to sell 700,000. But this year, we are targeting 1 million packages by using the hot deal program. Minister of Tourism Arief Yahya moreover added that to keep the destinations more visited by tourists, the toll road along Java Road should be equipped with rest area. 70 to 80% of stalls in the rest area are used by SMEs. Meanwhile, the Ministries of Tourism also appealed to the low-cost carrier not to use the upper limit tariff so that airline tickets to Indonesia are cheaper and affordable. Sriwijaya Air has announced it will open three new domestic routes ahead of Idul Fitr. On May 23, the airline will kick off its maiden flight from Makassar in South Sulawesi to Tobelo in North Maluku. On May 27, the airline will start its maiden to Surabaya route. And on May 30, it will start its Manado to Jakarta route. Sriwijaya Air Corporate Secretary Ratri Maya said in a statement on Tuesday that the opening of the new routes was in response to demand for more direct flights. With the new routes, Sriwijaya Air offers the best option to passengers. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here is today's commentary on Scott Morrison's victory, hope, and future challenges. I'm Dalat Pane. Scott Morrison from the Liberal Party will return to lead the Australian government after winning the federal general election held on Saturday, May 18. Scott Morrison's victory was quite surprising, especially for survey institutions that carried out polls and predicted victory for the Labour Party. The results of the Australian federal general election shows Labour's convincing defeat, which resulted in the resignation of Bill Shorten as the Supreme Leader. The President of the United States welcomed and congratulated Scott Morrison on his victory.
while China shows a cold attitude. The Chinese state media in its news and editorial didn't show much interest in Scott Morrison's victory. Scott Morrison's next task is to form a new government. He called it new because in the cabinet led by Morrison earlier, several figures in the government had resigned. Some of the key figures were Julie Bishop, Christopher Payne, Kelly O'Dwyer, Michael Keenan, and former Mr. Craig Lowndes. In his perspective, Scott Morrison stated that a lot of work had to be done. In his victory speech while convincing Australians to unite after the election, Scott Morrison reiterated his commitment to return to work soon. The assertion to reunite the people of Australia was strengthened by his opponent in the general election, Bill Shorten. The Labour Party leader immediately congratulated Scott Morrison and hoped for a better Australia. The question is, will Scott Morrison be able to carry out the mission to realise the hopes of the Australian people in making a better Australia? This certainly will be determined by how solid his government is. Scott Morrison must be very careful in choosing supporters of his government, especially considering that his Liberal Party needs to form a coalition with other parties. The previous fact shows several times the rift in the government which led to the withdrawal of important figures in the government. For Indonesia, a good relationship with this close neighborhood will also be realized through Scott Morrison's foreign policy. Indonesia certainly hopes that good relations can continue to be maintained, even further enhanced. As noted in the course of time, Australia and Indonesia relations have often experienced a decline and even deteriorated. That was commentary.
Here is today in history, what happened on May 22. I'll begin with an earthquake that shook Valdivia, Chile, and caused a tsunami that reached 10,000 kilometers from epicenter. The Valdivia earthquake on May 22, 1960, was the strongest earthquake in Chile, reaching 9.5 magnitude moment scales. This earthquake occurred during the day and caused a tsunami that reached southern Chile, Hawaii, Japan, the Philippines, eastern New Zealand, southeast Australia, and the Aleut Island in Alaska. The earthquake epicenter is located near Kaneti, about 900 kilometers south of Santiago. The next historic event was the United States embargo on Iran. The first United Nations sanction against Iran fell on May 22, 1980, with the start of the economic embargo launched by the United States against the Islamic Republic of Iran. The victory of the Islamic Revolution, which overthrew U.S.-backed Shah Pahlavi's government, made America unable to continue its influence in Iran. Therefore, America launched this embargo while at the same time provoking Iraq to invade Iran. Imam Khomeini told the Iranian people to never be afraid of this embargo. According to him, people who are afraid of the embargo are only people who make the economy and the world as their sole purpose in life. I will end today in history with the Unificación of Yemen. On May 22, 1990, the Republic of Yemen was declared to be the Unification of Yemen Arab Republic and the Democratic People's Republic of Yemen. The former president of Arab Republic of Yemen, Ali Abdullah Saleh become president in this new country, while the former president of the Yemeni Democratic Republic, Ali Salim al-Bidh, was appointed as vice president. In the 19th century, northern Yemen was ruled by the Ottoman Empire, while South Yemen was ruled by Britain. After independence from occupation, each region established a separate state. North Yemen became a Yemeni Arab Republic, while the southern Yemen, controlled by the Marxists, established the State of the People Democratic Republic of Yemen. Since 1972, the government of the two countries have begun to discuss the possibility of reuniting by Yemeni state, but it only come into being 18 years later. That was Today in History.
Yeah.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia, entitled Indonesian Digital Economy Perspective, discussed in Asia-Pacific Week, Berlin. McKinsey, a global consultant firm centered in New York, the U.S., in their report last year predicted that Indonesian digital economy will increase 8 times in 2022. Predictably, the Indonesian digital economy can reach $65 billion. The prospect of Indonesian digital economy was highlighted during Asia-Pacific Week APW in Berlin, Germany, on May 13 to 19. That was stated by Social Culture Information Secretary Wan at the Indonesian Embassy in Berlin, Hanan Hadi, to Antara on Sunday. The Asia-Pacific Week opening ceremony was attended by, among others, German Chamber of Commerce and Industry President Erik Switzer, Siemens AG CEO Joe Kaiser, and Indonesian Ambassador for Germany Arif Hafaz Ugroseno. Ambassador Ugroseno as the speaker on discussion titled Asia Meets Europe, shared success stories of Indonesian startups. The ambassador admitted that Indonesian startups are key actors to support Indonesian digital economy advancement. According to Ambassador Ugroseno, the future priority is how to increase Indonesian startup businesses to higher level, namely industry sector. Considering the big amount of German middle class currently, the Indonesian ambassador was optimistic Germany will be the right partner for Indonesian startups. Optimism for the cooperation prospect was also felt by some startup business people attending the discussion. One founder of MyCotech, a startup from Bandung, West Java, Adi Reza Nugroho, said that he was enthusiastic that Asia-Pacific Week can be the opportunity to look for business development partner. He also said, currently MyCotech needs partner for machinery equipment to increase production. Similar expectation was also felt by Infoware CEO David Christian. Infoware itself is an Indonesian startup on seaweed-based packaging. Indonesia prepared 2 additional activities to complete the Asia-Pacific Week Berlin 2019. One of them was panel discussion on May 15, themed Indonesia's Urban Innovation and Smart City Development. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Kamu bahagia mengenal diriku sama seperti aku bahagia mengenalmu. Tidak masalah berbeda dan ragu, kamu dan aku sama-sama mencari tahu kemana kita akan melangkah, menemukan apa dan berbuat apa. Kita generasi yang penuh harapan dan selalu mencari, ingin merasakan dahsyatnya dunia yang sebenarnya, dunianya kita. Kamu rasakan, aku pun rasakan, apa yang sangat menjadi pertanyaan kita. Genggam tanganku, menggapai mimpi, kamu dan aku sama-sama mencari tahu kemana kita.
akan melangkah menemukan apa dan berbuat apa. Kita generasi yang penuh harapan dan selalu mencari, ingin merasakan dahsyatnya dunia yang sebenarnya, dunianya kita. Kita tak berhenti, kan terus berjalan beri yang terbaik. Dalam perjalanan temukan jawaban yang tersembunyi di luar sana. Temukan
listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Ende, a small town in East Nusa Tenggara, has its own enchantment which is worthy to be visited. This town is located at the southern beach of Flores Island and occupied by around 30,000 people. According to history, in the past, Ende was a kingdom whose population was called Leo Ende. For some decades, Ende became the center of government, trade, education and political activities. The town was also a place of seclusion for the first Indonesian president, Sukarno, or popularly called as Bung Karno, in the colonial era. This town, President Sukarno designed Pancasila as the basic ideology in life for Indonesia. Ende is surrounded by three exotic mountains, Mount Meja, Mount Ia, and Mount Wonggi. As one of tourism destinations in Indonesia, Ende has either beautiful natural tourism destination or interesting historic and cultural tourism destinations. Kelimutu Lake becomes one of Ende's icons, which attracts a lot of tourists. The Three Colors Lake is so exotic, and it is located on the peak of Mount Kelimutu. Ende also has some other destinations such as Batu Cincin Beach, Batu Biru Beach, Enabara Maurole Beach, Buu Beach, Ria Ende Beach, Murundao Ende Waterfall, Kedebodu Waterfall, Ende Hills, and Saga Traditional Hamlet. The Museum of Bung Karno in Exile is also a tourism destination which should be visited if you come to Ende. a house which stands and faces to the east, was one of the historical buildings where Bung Karno was in exile. The house did not change a lot from its original construction, which was built in 1927, except its roof. Even other parts of its door are still the same as it used to be by Sukarno. Ende presents not only many beautiful places, but also weaving culture, called Zawo. The weaving product, which has long sides like sarung, is worn by women community. Generally, Ende people make Ende's weaving with various motifs and types. At a glance, the Ende's weaving is not so different from other regions in East Nusa Tenggara. So what are you waiting for? Set your time to enjoy holidays in Ende, a small town which has a lot of enchantment on its nature, culture, and history. Listener, that was our segment, Indonesian Wonder, for today. Thank you for listening.
Takdir kita telah berkata, kau hadir di sini melengkapi aku. Hidup di dalam. hidup di dalam hatiku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Visit or Bertamu. Next is a conversation about bertamu or visit. Tony and Joko at Joko's house. Joko shares bedroom for Tony and beg him to take a rest.
Tony, ini kamar kamu.
Oh, terima kasih.
Semoga kamu betah tinggal di sini.
Oh, saya pasti betah.
Amin. Silakan beristirahat ya.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Ini kamar kamu, which means this is your room. Senang, which means happy or glad. Semoga kamu senang tinggal di sini, which means hopefully you like to stay here. Saya pasti senang, which means I surely like it. Silakan beristirahat, which means please take a rest. To convey expectation, there are some words that can be used, such as semoga, mudah-mudahan. For examples, semoga kamu senang tinggal di sini, or mudah-mudahan kamu senang tinggal di sini, which means hopefully you like to stay here. Semoga kita bisa bertemu lagi, or mudah-mudahan kita bisa bertemu lagi, which means hope to see you again. There are some ways to answer someone's expectation, but simply you can say amin. Other examples, James, mudah-mudahan saya bisa ke Indonesia, which means hopefully I will come to Indonesia. Intan, amin, saya tunggu, which means amin, I'll wait for you. James, semoga kamu lulus, which means hopefully you will pass the exam. Intan, amin, or amin. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Tony, ini kamar kamu.
Oh, terima kasih.
Semoga kamu betah tinggal di sini.
Oh, saya pasti betah.
Amin. Silakan beristirahat ya.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
hatiku hanya mau kamu. Banyak salahku dan salahmu, dan itu jadi penguat kita. Kamu yang tahu aku, curangku dan nakalku, jujurku dan tulusku, rinduku dan bosanku. Terima kasih sayang, berjuta musim menata. Semua gugusan bintang mendengar hatiku hanya mau kamu.
Aku bisikkan pada udara, merangkaikan dalam aksara, mengisahkan obrah kita berdua.
Pastinya dalam perjalanan kita banyak salah.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, nice to meet you again in Music Corner. For today's edition, I introduce you a religious song by Atta Halilintar entitled Ramadan Sudah Tiba. Listener, perhaps you know more about Atta Halilintar as YouTuber. Indeed, he is the first man, both in Indonesia and in Southeast Asia, who has 10 million subscribers during February 2019. Now he has 15 million subscribers. A year before having 15 million subscribers, he released a song, Ramadan Sudah Tiba, to enliven Holy Month of Ramadan 2018. The lyric is quite simple that depicts happiness in welcoming Holy Month of Ramadan. In addition, the song also inspires to have spirit to perform fasting and prayer. In the description of video clip of the song Ramadan Sudah Tiba, which has been watched by more than 1 million times, Atta hopes the holy month of Ramadan brings blessings for all. Well, listener, here is Atta Halilintar with his song entitled Ramadan Sudah Tiba. Happy listening.
Bulan suci Ramadan sudah tiba, sudah tiba, ya ya, sudah tiba, ya 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 ya. Bulan suci Ramadan sudah tiba, sudah tiba. Seperti surah al-ikhlas, ya yeah. Puasa 30 hari, ya yeah. Jangan batal kamu laki-laki, ya yeah. Tarawihku di masjid, ya yeah. Softku paling depan, ya yeah. Tadarus hatam al-Quran, ya yeah. Aku bilang alhamdulillah, Malam Lailatul Qadar aku sudah rindu. Macam azan maghrib yang selalu aku tunggu, Sempatkan bangun pagi aku sholat duha subuhku tak tinggal sholat jemaah. Wake up, wake up, wake up now. Ku kejar cintamu. Wake up, wake up, wake up now. Let's get it on. Bulan suci Ramadan sudah tiba, sudah tiba. Berkah, yeah. Bulan saling memaafkan, Biar semua masuk surga. Jangan lupa sedekah, Yatim kamu tolong. Kalau kamu real yatim, puasa jangan bolong. Buka puasa pakai kurma sunnah Nabi. Sahur yang banyak, makan sampai capi, I work hard in Ramadan cause I am the man. I go flex for Lebaran cause I am the imam, Atta Halilintar, yeah. Yeah, you know me, man, say it. Wake up, wake up, wake up now. Ku kejar cintamu, wake up, wake up, wake up now. Let's get it on. Bulan suci Ramadan sudah tiba, sudah tiba, ya ya, sudah tiba, ya 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 ya. Bulan suci Ramadan sudah tiba, sudah tiba, ya ya, sudah tiba, ya 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 ya. Bulan suci Ramadan sudah tiba.
Voice of Indonesia.
Salam seribu salam dari dalam kalbu, ku rindu, ku rindu Rasulku. Bersimpuh menangisku dalam raudamu, berharap syafaatmu datang untukku. Muhammad Rasulku, Rasul terakhirku, kau sebut umatmu di akhir nafasmu. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, ya Rabbi salli alaihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, ya, ya Rasulullah. Ya Nabi, ya Nabi, ya Nabi, ya Nabi, ya Nabi, ya Nabi. Ya Nabi, ya Nabi, ya Nabi, ya Nabi, ya Nabi. Izinkan menatapmu di dalam mimpiku, menangis, merindu, semua menyatu. Salawat dan salam hanyalah untukmu, Muhammad, Muhammad Rasulku. Wahai saudaraku, dengarkan aku. Bila kau mendengar nama Rasulmu, bersolawat engkau untuk Rasulmu. Penerang hatimu, penyejuk jiwamu. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, ya salli alaihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, ya, ya Rasulullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, ya Rabbi salli.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.